going to happen. And we can break this down to the micro and talk about whether or not they're switching pick and roll or what's happening when with what lineup. But really, this is what everybody thought.
Honest
this
question,
is what
though.
We saw coming.
It's because this is all played out exactly how you figured it would play out, you know, with the exception of a colossal mistake by JR at the end of the game in game one and how that ended up affecting fortunes and whatnot. They played a perfect game in game one and did not come out with a win. I asked Zach Carper about this, and it's not just because the Warriors can shoot from anywhere, you know, collectively, mm-hmm. they're able to put it up from anywhere. The diving into a leaping defender to draw a foul bugs me.
It should.
And it bugs me about the league as a whole. Again, it's not just because that team does it. And I understand that shoot it from anywhere. You know, who was the old-timey coach that told you, as soon as you hear the whistle, just throw it up? Or as soon as you get touched, just chuck it up there and grab yourself two extra shots on a foul line? That's one thing. To get an out-of-control defender or an otherwise in-control defender making a play that just happens to be in the air and leaning into contact or turning into a position that isn't a shooting position and drawing that foul, I kind of thought that the effort had been put forward to move that call out of the game, and we're seeing it more liberally and liberally played by offensive players.
Kyle Korver has he went up, he should be able to land. You can't dive into a guy. To me, it would clean up a lot of stuff. Ball don't lie.
And I know we want points in the game, right? And I know the NBA, in terms of viewership and in terms of fans, has just been going up in their popularity. So at a certain degree, you're not trying to take points out of the game, but the argument there is that shot's just free throws. You know what I'm saying? So if you're in this pace of play argument like Major League Baseball finds themselves in, your pace of play isn't being increased by putting a guy on the foul line and just shooting a couple of free throws.
Yes, you could counter-argue that by saying don't leave your feet unless you want to incur the risk of fouling someone.
I understand that. How the hell do you defend the Warriors then?
Well, you can't defend the Warriors.
But I've got to try.
It's not because of a rule.
But I've got no, it's not because of the rule. I'll give you that. But I've got to try.
See, for
and
me,
the I here isn't necessarily the Cavaliers, because God help you, it's not happening.
No, for me, it's the James Harden stuff. For me, it's what constitutes on the gather. You heard Zach Harper just talk about it, about people saying, oh, they travel all the time, not knowing what the gather is and whether or not a referee is properly calling the gather. To me, my basketball sensibilities are much more inflamed, not by what's going on right now, but the James Harden stuff and the way of having somebody who is properly defending a ball screen behind the 3-point line, making that person essentially fouling yourself on a person to get 3 free throws.
Okay, I guess if
you 4-point
play. We want to talk about the shot itself, that's cool. I know you're not a huge aesthetic fan of James Harden. I want to make sure that doesn't necessarily play
it's
into
it's part of it,
because he will dribble to a point. I mean, he'll draw fouls while taking the ball up the court. You know what I'm saying? He will stick his ass out so as to draw contact while dribbling. That's just part of it. If you're controlling the basketball like that, if you're initiating offense through a dribble or getting mismatches to a certain point where you're forcing guys to foul you while you're dribbling, while you're setting things up, I'm cool with that. I just don't, the Korver play last night, the Korver Klay Thompson play last night is exactly the kind of foul that I don't need in the NBA. I don't need in that game.
This segment brought to you by KFC. Get the new crispy kernel sandwich from KFC. The new KFC crispy kernel, $5 fill up with wedges, cookie, and a drink. The offer's not everywhere, not forever. Prices may vary, tax and substitutions extra. Jim Deshays up next, as is another chance for you to win $1,000 cash. So keep it here for the text keyword. You've got the score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com, a service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
Cubs left fielder Kyle Schwarber on the Bernstein and McKnight Show this morning. Kyle, has the attitude changed for you when you come up looking to throw? People are trying to take advantage a little bit, that you've got a chance to really show out a little bit and help the club?
That's something I don't really pay attention to. It's just more me whenever the balls hit to me and there's runners on base and they're trying to advance. Like I said, I'm just trying to put the accurate throw out there and give our guys a chance. And, there's going to be times when you have to get really aggressive and let one loose and try to get it all the way there. And there's going to be times where you're going to want to throw it to the cutoff man and let that guy make the decision right there and see if he wants to let the ball go through or if he wants to cut it off and maybe try to get that guy who's advancing.
Dan Bernstein now in middays, joined by returning score guy Connor McKnight, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
Kyle Schwarber. How does one in your situation actually work on it? Are you going into the specifics of foot positioning, of the angle of your first step? Is it vision of how to get a read, how to actually work on seeing the ball better? What's the granular aspect of that kind of practice?
Yeah, I would say it's just a lot of reps. I'm still relatively fresh to the position. And some of these guys out here that we've had or that we have here are played the outfield their whole lives. And just being able to watch these guys and be able to talk to them and talk about foot first step quickness and things like that and how to give yourself a chance on some borderline balls and things like that. Being able to get reps and see all these different kind of ball flights off the bat.
Dan Bernstein now in middays, joined by returning score guy Connor McKnight, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
When it comes to safety, nothing is more important than your vehicle's brakes. If it's hard to stop or you hear squealing or grinding noises during braking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find the brake parts you need from trusted brands like BrakeBest and BrakeBest Select at everyday low prices. Play it safe with brakes from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Bears first-round draft pick Roquan Smith.
What's the best lesson that you've learned from football?
Just don't take anything for granted. I've seen guys, playing it one day and never play it again. So don't take anything for granted and just make the most of every opportunity that's presented to you in life.
Leadership seems to be a big deal to you. What's your philosophy on leading?
I would say just you have to know your teammates, so you have to know how to affect your team. But first and foremost, you have to lead by example. You can't be a rah-rah guy and all-out guy knowing that you're not doing things the right way or you're not willing to put in the work. So I feel like leading by example, then you can be more vocal and things like that. But you just have to know how to affect your teammates.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
Panera now delivers, so you can order good, clean food right to your office, or door, or porch, or backyard, or front yard, or apartment, or dorm, or castle, or shop, or worksite, or wherever Panera delivers, for lunch, dinner, and everywhere in between. Click the banner to order or visit PaneraBread.com. Participating locations only. Panera. Food as it should be.
ProGrade carpet cleaning used to take pros. Now, it only takes a trip to the Home Depot for the Hoover Smart Wash Advanced Pet Automatic Carpet Cleaner at a great everyday low price of just $229. With its automatic cleaning technology, you simply push to clean, pull back to dry for deep cleaning that doesn't take deep pockets. The Smart Wash Advanced Pet Carpet Cleaner, just $229. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Valid through June 19th.
Radically transformed.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Really good stuff today. I know he started out with a couple walks, but the stuff looked crisp from the side. Kept getting better, game in progress. Their guy was equally as good. I like Matt's. I've always liked Matt's. So it's just one of those days. I know this we've won four games. Easily could have lost a couple of these four just based on how close they've been. But I'll take it. And today's game was won on pitching and base running. Pretty good stuff.
Joe Maddon on John Lester, just the latest in solid Cubs performances. Right now, it is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is name. Text name to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is name to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Jim DeShays is on Twitter at Jim DeShays, and you hear him and see him on television alongside Len Casper as the Cubs TV analyst. JD, I've been saying is my way of summing up the story of the 2018 Cubs to this point is they had been doing just enough to keep their most critical fans unhappy. I'm not so sure I can say that right now after this latest stretch where some things seem to have quieted. You understand what I'm getting at this point? It's always been just enough for people looking for a reason to be unhappy could find it. I don't know if they can quite as easily now.
Yeah, there's always angst when you're not, 51-2. Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Darvish story early on, Chatwood struggles. I can understand why people were worked up about that. But I think the performance of Montgomery filling in has probably eased some people's minds. Chatwood, although not great, was better last time. Offensively, they seem to be finding a little more consistency. So I would agree. I would think that they're kind of teetering there for a while where they weren't playing great ball, still managing to win, and you could find reasons to think it might go in the wrong direction. This latest stretch, they've been playing really well in pretty much all phases of the game.
Jim, we've seen Mike Montgomery put together two pretty good starts now, and when the Cubs needed it too, given the depth and injury situation, the rotation, and really a bullpen that has needed a breather or two. With Montgomery, do you see him growing some? Is there anything extra you see in his arsenal or his development that leads you to believe that perhaps he's better suited for starting now than he might have been in years prior?
I think he's always, to me, he's always looked like a starting pitcher, but he had value in that he could, pitch out of the bullpen in a lot of different situations. And that's why Joe likes him as a long man, because he's not a lefty who just gets lefties out. He gets ground balls with his curveball. He's good against right-handed hitters, so he's the kind of guy that you can put in a game early and flip the platoon advantage and not feel like you're going to get exposed to right-handed hitters. Had we gone into the season and Mike Montgomery was our fifth starter, I think, I would have been fine with it. I think Joe would have been fine. But I think the mindset of Theo and Jed and all the decision-makers was let's try to get as deep as we can. And again, Montgomery becomes a very good option as a sixth starter, fill in if people get hurt, and still can give you some length out of the bullpen and can even give you some high leverage help out of the bullpen. It's no fun for Mike. I know he'd rather be starting every fifth day, but sometimes that's the price you pay to be on a winning team. You have to take a lesser role, as you perceive it, to be on a really good team.
What do we know about the injury to Addison Russell?
I don't know much, other than it came out with the little finger issue. Beyond that, I have no idea.
Yeah, because when they said after the fact that he hurt it on a swing, usually when he's swinging, the only thing I'm concerned about is where the bat's going to go. So
right.
I don't know that I've heard about a finger injury on a swing in quite that way.
Yeah, he might have just popped something or rolled over. I have no idea. I never swung the bat hard enough to hurt myself. And it might have been something that was lingering there a little bit, and then one swing really aggravated it, and they decided to get him out.
What does a day off do for this bullpen? You hear Joe after the game, after the big long one Saturday against the Mets, about how there really weren't any options for him late, that Luke Farrell was going to have to take as many bats as Luke Farrell was going to have in that game because he didn't have other options. I mean, that how taxed is this at this point, and how much does Carl Edwards' injury kind of play into long-term fears? I know you got to bump guys up in the in terms of situation now, and in terms of leverage, but that's it's a unit that's pitched very well so far.
Yeah, and it doesn't take long to reset a bullpen. You know, you get one good long start and a day off like we're having today, and everybody should be good to go for the Philly series. You know, I'm a big believer in exposing guys to high leverage situations early in the year who might, you know, might be penciled in to fill a different role, see what they can do, and then you have multiple options as the season rolls along. You know, so the work of Dunsing, Strope, Cishek has been really, really good. I think, you know, the confidence level for Joe and Cishek is sky high. So obviously you'd love to have Carl available and pitching, but I don't think there's any real sense of urgency to push him at this stage of the season to get him back because the other guys are performing so well. And I think in some ways it can be a bonus because guys are asked to do some heavier lifting. And we'll hopefully gain confidence and feel comfortable when they're put in that role later in the year.
And Luke Farrell was a thing. You know, you saw that for him to do what he did, you know, on that stage, you talk about the moments that he had with some high leverage flameouts, you know, right back to back there, probably is, you know, the low point of a big league career, and to respond the way he did. And those are some heavy pitches. I mean, there's some big league stuff definitely in that arm. So I'm wondering what you're hearing the team thinks that his role could be.
Yeah, that was off the charts because, you know, he went out there with that baggage of those two games in St. Louis. And I think every Cub fan, everybody watching, he's such a good guy. You're just, oh no, please, you know, just keep it in the ballpark. And obviously he did a lot better than that. You know, for me, he profiles again. I think his future is as a starter. And I was talking to some scouts the day after that game and they were like, Luke Farrell just beat all the GMs in baseball because he pitched above the hands with a four-seam fastball and real good downward movement on his slider. So, you know, and that's kind of the nature of pitching today, up and down, as opposed to east and west with so many guys trying to hit the ball in the air. He got real good carry on his four-seam fastball, and his slider, as I mentioned, was a lot better the other day than I'd seen in his previous outings. You know, grew up around the game, obviously, with his dad. He looks comfortable in a big league clubhouse. He looked very comfortable on that mound in a high pressure situation where one mistake could cost you yet another ball game. I think as I look down the road, I think his best opportunity is going to be as a starter, but he can certainly help out of the bend for now.
Cubs television analyst Jim Deshays, easy for me to say, easy for you because you've, you know, lived with the name, on the Bernstein and McKnight show here. Wonder if you, Jim, Jake Arrieta comes back, though he won't pitch, wonder if you'd heard or read his comments about where the Phillies have been at here the last weekend.
I did. I saw it on Twitter on the airplane yesterday as we were leaving New York. Yeah, he's not a happy camper with the way they've been playing lately. You know, I think there's always danger, and that's probably too strong of a word, but it's a concern when you acquire a guy like Jake who's had success coming from a winning program that, you know, you're going to hear some of that. Like, you know, what he said, you have to copy the best.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't like the way they're shifting. Now, obviously, they're going through a rough patch, and he got beat yesterday, so he's probably venting, and he may walk some of that back over the next couple of days. He might not. You know, it'll be interesting to see what the dynamic is. You know, Gabe Kapler took a lot of heat for some of his decisions early on, and just to hear what Jake had to say, I'm guessing it's not an isolated incident. I'm sure there are other guys in that clubhouse that feel that way. But he's got cachet in the game now because he's a World Series champion, he's a Cy Young Award winner, and he's a bona fide front of the rotation guy. So that could create some issues for the Phils.
Well, yeah, there's a question of leadership and a question of accountability in some of the comments he made. And I know you don't know the Phillies clubhouse or anything, but I wonder as a former starter and knowing Jake the way you do, how difficult it is or isn't maybe these days. Maybe it's a little overblown to be that kind of leader when you're only pitching, you know, once every fifth day. I mean, that sure, you're not in uniform or working 4 days out of five, but you are in that clubhouse. I mean, you are part of the culture in there, right?
Yeah, and again, I think because of his resume and his time in the game and the fact that they have a pretty young club, that changes the dynamic. You know, typically, you know, your team leaders are going to be position players, everyday guys. But because of what he's been through and what he's done, he probably carries a little more weight. And there's a responsibility that comes with that, too, where you can't just be firing off on management because things haven't worked out for you in the last couple of days. I mean, I think you have to be really careful before you make those comments that you're not just reacting to a tough stretch or a bad start or, you know, and the whole shifting thing is a dynamic that continues, even though it's been going on now for a number of years. I think there's still a big tug of war going on between front offices, coaching staffs, pitchers, you know, is not a complete buy-in. And so that's, you know, that's Kapler's job as the manager. If he believes in it and the front office, you know, they've got data that says we're going to continue to shift in such a way, they either got to sell it to Jake or say, okay, you know, you're a Cy Young Award winner. You know what you're doing. You tell us where you want to play, guys, and we'll try it your way for a while and see how it works out.
Or Jake could miss some bats because his strikeout rate is way down and some pitchers need more defense than other pitchers. I would ask you this, too, that we read a study. When you talk about the data, we read a study, I want to say it was Russell Carlton, that went deep into the weeds with the gory math, and they've determined that shifts generally work. They are taking away singles that because of proper positioning. However, most of that value is being given back due to walks. That the walk rate when the shift is on is high, and it's believed that pitchers are just not comfortable. That there's some human element here based on their studies that we should have listened to pitchers when they say, you know, I don't like it. I don't like the idea of what's going on behind me. There is some level of discomfort, and you as a former pitcher, I'm sure, can understand that and articulate the reasons for it better than we can. Does it make sense to you?
It does, and I read that article too, and he did. He took a very deep dive, and when I finished it, my takeaway was, wow, that's really interesting. I'm not sure I could make the linkage, you know, between the walks and the shifts. You know, clearly they're there. He has the evidence they're there, but the why, I'm not sure. But that's intriguing, and it could be true that, you know, if all of a sudden you look and there's three guys on the left side of the infield, and it makes you kind of your head spin a little bit, and do I need to pitch a certain way because of it, or whatever. I don't know the answer to that. I do know, and we didn't shift a whole lot, you know, back in the the long ago days when I was pitching, but there were times when, you know, we'd be playing a shortstop in a hole, and I'd make a good pitch, and a guy hit a little dribbler up the middle for a base hit, and that really frustrated me. And it seemed like a lot of times we would overplay to defend against a bad pitch. You made a mistake, a guy jerked one in the hole, and the guy was there to make a play for you. But I would rather be rewarded for making a good play, a good pitch, than be bailed out when I make a bad pitch, if that makes any sense. And I think, you know, as we move along, I suspect the pitchers are going to start to get their way a little bit, the guys who are really opposed to the shifting, because if the guy's not in the right mental state, regardless of where you're playing your guys, it's not going to work out.
JD, appreciate it as always. Thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the off day.
I will. Thanks, guys. Great to be with you.
That is Jim DeShays, TV analyst of the Chicago Cubs. We have not discussed the move the Bears made today.
No, we have not.
It's a minor move that makes a major statement.
Indeed, it does. It's something you don't have to do.
It's actually
done anyway.
And it isn't done all that often, especially in that league. And there might be a precedent here.
In case you missed it, we'll let you know what it was and the impact it's going to have. It's Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, new in the afternoons, 1 to 6.
Albert Almora joins us.
The slide yesterday that injured for a brief period their catcher. What did you see?
I see Rizz playing baseball, man, and as simple as it sounds, he's trying to break up a double play. There is no intent. I've seen the replay. I've seen the video.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, new in the afternoons, 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair.